Now, we're going to look at the Gospel for the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. It's the story of the Syrophoenician woman, as I mentioned before. But I want to contextualize it for you. The story immediately preceding in St. Matthew is that discussion about why do your disciples eat with unwashed hands, and break our traditions? And our Lord goes after them and finally says, it's not what goes into a man that makes him defiled. It's what comes out. And therefore, did away, in a way, with all of those dietary and other regulations. They're not necessary. Then, by way of an illustration, we have this story of Jesus going up to the region of Tyre and Sidon, which is north and a little bit west of Palestine, and talking to this pagan woman. And as the fathers of the church saw with great perspicacity, we moderns didn't see it. In all the years I've been working with this, I never grasped that woman, the Syrophoenician woman, is like the mother of the Gentiles. She is calling out, and she wins salvation for all the Gentiles. Because there are the other famous story of a healing at a distance is the centurion's son, another Gentile. In other words, at a distance, Jesus is healing, but there will be a moment when there will be no more distance, because you will be receiving the Eucharist just as we do. And so that's the background for this story, which is so beautiful. And so illustrative for us in our own life of prayer. So the text begins, you see. And leaving there, that is the place where they were having that discussion, he withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, which is Lebanon today. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out to him. Now she is a Canaanite woman. In Mark, she's a Syrophoenician, which is saying the same thing, because that's Syria, and of course that's where the Phoenicians lived, and that's Lebanon today. And so this woman comes out who's a Syrophoenician, or in this text, she's a Canaanite woman, which is the same, that's the Canaanites are up there. Historically, she comes out from that region crying out. You see, she cried out and said, Eleison me, Kyrie, Hios David. That's a Christian prayer. That's a Jewish prayer. Have mercy on me, Kyrie, Lord, Son of David. Why does she know that? Did she hear it? Was she one of those who walked down into Galilee when our Lord was teaching and healing? Did she know him slightly? Hard to know. But she's very bold. Why? Because she has a daughter who is tormented. And the text literally says, my daughter is kakos demonizote. She's badly demonized. So she's appealing. As I say, it's Hilary, Chrysostom, I think Origen even. Notice, this is a Gentile appealing for her posterity. And Jesus is sensitive to that. And so, But the text says, you see, he didn't answer her a word. Why not? Is he rude? No. He loves this woman. But he wants to bring her to a higher level so that her intercession and the healing of her daughter reverberate through history and become a model for the Lord's care and actual gracing of the Gentiles, you see? So it says, see, he did not answer her a word. So she didn't give up, and he knew she wouldn't. Why? Care for her daughter. She's a mother. And so the text says, you see, the disciples came and said to him, Would you get rid of her? You know, she keeps calling out after us. She's following us down the street. And couldn't you get rid of her, Jesus? Now, they don't hesitate to say, that's where we were. We didn't know anything. Here's Jesus planning this thing in his own way, bringing this woman like he did in another way for the Samaritan woman, bringing her. And the guys are just saying, hey, this lady is a pain in the neck. Can you get rid of her, Jesus? You know, heal her daughter, do whatever you want, but get rid of her. And so they're implying, heal her. Oh, you can heal anybody. Heal her. She'll go home and we'll be at peace. That's not a very exalted apostolic motive, is it? I mean, they're nowhere, these pillars of the church, who, as the preface for the Mass of the Apostles says, from their place in heaven they guide us still. But look with how they started. Why do they put that in? So that nobody will think more highly of them than they should. And so that we'll all say, heck, look, I was there, or I am there, but I can improve. Look what happened to them. It's to encourage us that they always tell their faults. In fact, it's a characteristic of biblical religion that all the heroes, except Jesus himself, are all their faults are told. Abraham lied about his wife. David committed adultery and murder. Moses got so mad. And you see? So anyway, so, but he said to her, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's his main mission, of course, to fulfill the promise that was made by the word of God through the prophets for a millennium. That's my mission. And so so she comes right back. She worships him, it says, proskene, and says, Lord, help me. And now he says, see, the other remark was more or less to the, you want me to heal this Canaanite woman's daughter, but I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And now she comes up and he says, help me. And he says, it's not good to take the bread of the children and throw it to the puppy dogs. That's not nice. That's tough. Saying, you Canaanites, Syrophoenicians, non-Jews, you're dogs. And that culture, call anybody a dog, that's the worst. Caleb, you know, it's the worst thing. So anyhow, she goes right by it because of her love for her daughter. She doesn't care. He can call her anything she wants. But she knows, you see, she knows that he can heal her, the daughter. She knows it. So beyond everything else, even the preoccupation for her daughter, is this faith. You can call me a puppy dog if you want, but I know you can heal my daughter. And so she answers, and she says, oh, yes, Lord, because the dogs, the little puppy dogs, you see, They eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters. So I reckon you're a Jew, you're sent to the Jews, so you're at a banquet. You have a banquet here. You're feeding your people with the word of God day after day, with the power of healing day after day. Surely some of it must fall from the table, and we could eat that. He's thrilled to death. Now he's got a hero. Just like the centurion, remember? The centurion, he said about him, the other healing at a distance, I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. And now he says to this woman, you see, which is so beautiful, you see. He says, oh, woman, great is your faith. You see, let it be done for me, for you, as you ask. And the daughter was healed at that moment. Interesting vocabulary. The woman says she's tormented by a demon, and he says she's healed. In other words, that intimate and obscure area of demonic activity and sickness. Ultimately, since the devil hates man, you know, he causes all the sickness he can. He causes all the abortion he can. Because he hates. So, she's right. There's a demon bothering her daughter. And our Lord just says, oh, woman, great is your faith. When we read these, we should kind of pray and try to enter into our Lord's thrill at this faith. It's the same when he describes the prayer of that publican in the back of the temple and the Pharisee, the devout souls up in the front, thanking God for all the good things that he does. The guy in the back is just saying, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When you read the text, pray to the Holy Spirit to hear how our Lord's heart leaps as he says that prayer. He's more identified with him than he is with the Pharisee. He who is pure, divine, spotless holiness is more identified with this crook than he is with the guy in the front. And he, you know, just read it and feel that enthusiasm. Oh, I promise you, this one went home justified, not that one. Here you have the same thing. Oh, woman, great is your faith. I am so proud of you. You come from a Gentile background. You didn't have a good Jewish training. You know I've got some kind of power, and you're calling me by the right words. You're calling me Kyrios. You're calling me Hios David. You know the Lord and Son of David, you know. And I rebuff you, and you take it and rise. So now we're talking. And I love you, and I admire your faith. So, you see, let it be done as you wish. And at that moment, the daughter was healed. And that's the story. And you see, we can read in there the love that is the heart of Christ for all unbelievers. But the solution is not, well, they're doing fine. No, the solution is how many millions have gone out and risked their lives and sometimes been martyred, because to be inside the gospel is thousands of times easier to attain salvation than to be outside the gospel. And that's very important to remember. Woman, not great is your luck. Woman, great is your faith.